All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our 24th episode, and it's officially postseason play. Joined once again, as normal, by Nate and Carson, and today we have a guest, Micah. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen, and you?
We're in there. You wanna tell everyone a little bit about yourself, what you do, and who you're with?
Yeah, so I'm obviously Micah from College Baseball Central. My main focus, I actually run Fifth Quarter ACC, or some know it, the Just Means Less ACC podcast. So obviously a more ACC-focused guy, but I handle our bracketology as well for College Baseball Central. I actually work full-time in college athletics. I'm the Director of Marketing and Fan Experience at East Tennessee State University. So I'm fully engulfed in college athletics pretty much year-round. So, you know, college baseball is a big thing for me. I lived in Kearney, Nebraska for a couple of years and really re-sparked my love for college baseball, and we're still kicking. So yeah, I'm really excited to be on, and I'm really upset. I have a TCU shirt I got in Omaha last year, and of course, packing to come to Charlotte, I forgot to throw it in my bag. So I don't have my purple on like I had hoped.
Hey, don't worry, we'll send you some purple stuff. We got plenty of it. Yeah, Micah, we got not a lot to talk about. It's postseason. Like we mentioned, we got the Big 12 tournament starting tomorrow at 9 a.m. But, you know, TCU is finishing as the ninth seed. They kind of had a disappointing season, 14-16 in conference play, not kind of what you expect as a preseason favorite from every single vote that happened. But, you know, you made the dance, and that's all that matters and all we talked about going into the season. Micah, before we go into a little bit more, do you want to just talk about TCU season from your point of view as an outsider looking in?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's one of those things, right? If you're a TCU fan, I'm sure you're probably a little upset, but you know, from a broad landscape, you know, again, I have a lot of focus on Wake Forest, and I feel like it's been almost similar seasons. The difference is Wake Forest's RPI, for whatever reason, is just that much better. But both teams have really underperformed from what the expectation is. And obviously, you see LSU, you see Florida, but you see so many of these teams being talked about as bubble teams from Omaha last year. I mean, Oral Roberts just snuck into the Summit League tournament.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things for me, it was obviously quite surprising, but it seems like it's just a trend across the board in Omaha. I mean, really, there's only been one or two Omaha teams that have really kind of done their expectation, Virginia kind of being one of them, which, by the way, for Free Fest is my team. So, you know, it's definitely interesting kind of from that perspective. I got a lot of eyes on this weekend series with West Virginia, which was my first true, like, I think where I watched a full series of TCU baseball, and I was kind of just like, it wasn't what I saw last year in Omaha. That's for sure. And obviously the one that eliminated Virginia. So, you know, it's definitely a little bit frustrating, I'm sure, for you guys. But I think probably the biggest thing I've noticed is just the Big 12 just across the board seems very competitive, but it's just missing that, you know, top dog like it normally has. Like Oklahoma being the top seed, no one's giving them respect, including myself. I mean, those of you might know Jake McKeever, right, on our College Baseball Central team. He's been hounding me about Oklahoma because I've been so reluctant to give them any credit just because of just – and maybe it's the Oklahoma brand. Maybe it's the fact I'm still mad that they got in over Kansas State last year. But, you know, something about them just doesn't want to be attractive to me. And obviously Oklahoma State, I work in the Southern Conference. Mercer was a pitch or two away from winning a weekend series against them early in the year. So for me, it's just I don't know what it is with the Big 12, but it's still one of the best leagues in college baseball. But it just doesn't feel like the Big 12 that I remember and kind of, you know, as an ACC fan, always get scared of when you see them paired with your teams in regionals.
Yeah, that kind of leads me into my next question is like, what differentiates is like, you know, obviously we all cover the Big 12 pretty extensively along with TCU, but what differentiates like a conference as SEC being looked at as deep with their rankings and who they have and the ACC as well, but the Big 12 is kind of struggling to get those rankings and a little bit of the respect? Is it because they're missing that top dog, like, you know, focus aspect?
I'm guessing so. I mean, it's the same fight that we have, you know, again, I do some football coverage as well for the ACC. You know, we have that issue in football where it's like, oh, well, Florida State, Clemson, NC State are all good, but they're not good enough. They're not the heavy hitter college football playoff contender. So I think that's got to be some of it. I think part of it, too, is just how bad Texas was to start the year. I mean, that's not fair. You shouldn't rely on Texas to carry a conference. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I hit Texas when they were down. They were one of my trivia questions at ETSU. We had a higher RPI than them in at the end of April. And it was a big running joke that what power team is joining the SEC right now is worse in baseball than ETSU. So, you know, I think that could be obviously a big part of it. And I think too, there's a, excuse me, a lot of disrespect. Like, I really like this West Virginia program. They don't get the respect they deserve. Kansas State, similar. Like, they're given this. I mean, Kansas State this year, I saw them in a midweek at Clemson in person. Like, they traveled all across the country just to prove that they were worth it after getting left out last year purely because of their location, being in Manhattan, Kansas, and not being able to play midweeks as consistently against quality opponents as everybody else. So I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Texas Tech kind of did that same thing where they decided, hey, we're just going to schedule a bunch of ranked midweeks and just see how many of these wins we can get to, you know, make sure that we get into that final tournament.
Yeah. College Baseball Central's latest bracket projection that came out today. You guys had TCU playing as a 3 seed in the Corvallis regional against Oregon State, UC Irvine, and Air Force, which is a sneaky, really good region with Air Force being in there. Just a great academy team. But is that TCU's locked in spot regardless of what happens this week? Or is that given that they win a game this week? Or
so I kind of assumed, and this is not to make any predictions right now, but I kind of use the assumption that I don't have high hopes for the Big 12 tournament for TCU, just purely because, again, I have a lot of respect for the teams at the top. And I think getting paired with West Virginia in game one, a team you just saw this past weekend, isn't the most attractive thing in the world, most ideal thing in the world, because they clearly had your number this weekend. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you look at it that way. I think with them, I think the biggest thing is, because I've noticed it, and I'm the one that mainly does it with Jake, it seems like the biggest pushback that we get is the ACC, like, or not ACC, the conference standings, because like it's so, I was on a Louisville podcast last night. They have a better ACC record than Wake Forest, but yet Wake Forest is being talked about as a host, and we have them hosting because of their RPI, and Louisville, we're questioning whether or not they're going to be in or not. And it's just so strange, because I think the same thing is going to happen to TCU, where, I mean, I think quality-wise, TCU would be, like, I know as a Virginia fan, I would not want to see TCU as a 3 or 2 in my regional. But at the same time, the committee's not going to see it that way. And they're probably going to throw them in a 3. And, like, I think you said it, like, that regional to me is super fun. I think it's super deep. And I, not to say that Air Force could win it, but they're one of the 4 seeds that I would say, if there's a 4 seed to advance to the Supers, they're probably near the top of the list. So, especially with how well they've been playing. So, I think that obviously factors in a lot too, but, you know, from a standpoint of what TCU in the Big 12 tournament, I mean, that's kind of assuming that it's not the greatest of weekends in the Big 12 tournament for them.
Yeah. Nate, you can speak more on this because you're a lot closer with them than I am, but the one thing TCU does have going for them tomorrow against West Virginia is they're throwing a fresh arm that West Virginia hasn't seen at all in Cademan Parker. Nate, you want to talk about Cademan a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, Cademan is going to be somebody that's not like Peyton Tolley, but he's going to be more that high velocity that seemed to work against West Virginia in that first game. And Cademan was coming off of surgery on his arm and didn't pitch all of last season. And he's gotten progressively better as the season has progressed. And he's been one of the most reliable arms. And I really think that he's going to play a big role in this game if he can even give TCU 3 solid innings. If he can control his fastball and his off-speed pitch is working, I think West Virginia is going to struggle to him. And then, like I said, then you can turn to a slower pitcher and keep him completely off guard. It's when you go to slow to fast is when I think that West Virginia's already had your number. So I think this going to Cademan Parker will be a lot like Peyton Tolley. And I think it's a good thing that you don't have to use Tolley in the first game.
Yeah, it becomes a big thing of when they'll use Tolley again. Like we talked about, 110 pitches on Thursday. You kind of assume that if they lose, he's throwing Wednesday because it's a go-home situation. But, you know, you look at the bracket in the Big 12 tournament, and, you know, Bucky, you said that Kansas State and Kansas and all them aren't getting their respect. And, like, you have Kansas State, TCU, West Virginia, and Oklahoma one side of the bracket compared to UCF, Cincinnati, Tech, Texas, and Oklahoma State. That feels like a one-sided bracket a little bit slightly going into this tournament. Bracket, do you have a pick to win the Big 12 tournament?
So I haven't gone through it and followed it all the way through. Based off the bracketology stuff we had, I've been going back and forth between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. For the longest time, I was on Texas, but Jake has convinced me that that's not going to happen. So give Jake any heat for that. But I agree with you. I know when I was looking at it, I was frustrated because I felt like the first two games tomorrow are arguably much better than the nightcaps, which,
yeah,
you know, again, if you guys have ever seen the ACC tournament format, it's one of the more interesting ones with the pools formats, that we do.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it because these teams get a chance to kind of pick their way. Like Louisville plays tomorrow at 11 a.m., but doesn't play again until Friday at 3, and you're guaranteed two games. Now, granted, at least the Big 12 does guarantee two games with the double elimination format, unlike some conferences, the SEC, sorry. But, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, if you lose, like if TCU loses tomorrow, right, you got to turn around and play at 9 a.m. against either Kansas State or Kansas, who both teams are, again, similar to TCU, right, kind of fighting for that bid, like to basically put themselves in a safe situation, don't have to worry about what happens in the West Coast Conference or the American Athletic Conference or, you know, some of these bid stealer type conferences. So, you know, I agree with you 100%. I think it's, and I do kind of worry because are they going to beat each other up? Like, is this going to be one of those things where it's going to be a bloodbath? So then like 2-seeded Oklahoma State, who not is going to coast to it, right, but doesn't run into the same, you know, type of, you know, format. I mean, when I saw Cincinnati at the 5, I was honestly like my jaw dropped because I didn't even realize Cincinnati was good at baseball until about 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it kind of caught me off guard. But now my pick right now is Oklahoma. I think just they're so explosive. But I mean, it really is anybody's ball game, especially again when it's I agree with you, kind of one sided kind of the bracket.
Yeah. Hey, don't disrespect Cincinnati too much. They're my preseason sleeper team.
You nailed it, because I've been to a couple Cincinnati games before when they were still Big East and American Athletic, and it was those were painful to watch. So I guess I just kind of didn't really pay attention until it was too late. But I mean, I will say ETSU has a higher RPI. So are they really that good at baseball?
Yeah. But, hey, maybe ETSU is a sleeper team.
Hey. Yeah, right. Put us in. But
TCU fans think that Cincinnati's the best team in the country.
Hey,
it's not close TCU. after flooring us for 72 hours. Oh my gosh.
But let me say something about the Big 12 tournament too, because we talked about this before we started recording and before Micah joined. Is, you know, it is you are guaranteed two games, unlike the SEC, which is trying out new first bases, the double sided, which I kind of like. But if TCU, let's say, loses and then wins their Thursday losers bracket game, then they now play at 9 a.m. Friday and then turn around and play at 12:30. And on the flip side, if TCU wins their first two games but loses their third, it is no longer double elimination. They're automatically out of the tournament, becomes single elimination. So it is kind of give or take a little bit. I do love the ACC style of pod. I do think it provides more entertaining games and structure throughout the week and allows you to kind of get their best shot at a team. Carson, who's your pick to come out of each side of the bracket?
Unfortunately, so I was not at Lupton to witness Oklahoma's offense, so maybe I don't have the full
it was a lot
the full scope of things. But yeah, I think I have Oklahoma coming out of our side, just because I don't think that TCU has the pitching depth like we did last year, especially like in the bullpen. And then I actually have Texas coming out of the other side, unfortunately. As much as I hate to choose the two teams that are leaving the Big 12, I do think that Texas still has that playoff mentality that they've had for a few years now, where they kind of heat up towards the end of the Big 12 season and then win two or three games in the tournament.
Yeah. Nate, any chance maybe Tech makes some noise?
You know, I was actually going to say Texas Tech makes it out of that side. Here's why. They're getting some big key arms back from their bullpen who have been hurt for half of the season. And I feel like their hitting just has to come alive. And I feel like they're waiting for that big moment. And it's the time to do so. And I think the Frogs get out of our side of the bracket. I really do.
I love the homer take. I don't agree. I actually, I got West Virginia and Oklahoma State meeting in the finals, and I just think it's the way it's going to play out. Is Tech season's done, Micah? Are they done?
No, I think so. I mean, again, now if they make a run, yeah, you know, yeah. One thing I didn't realize, and this is my fault I used the old fashioned internet instead of looking at a nice social media graphic. I didn't realize, because now I'm able to, you know, follow it on my phone with the whole lines going forever, where the highest seeded winner,
yeah,
like, I was so confused when you were explaining that to me. I was like, what are you talking about? Isn't it just you advance to play the next game? That is actually crazy. Because, like, I was, you know, now looking at it, right? Like, that means TCU would have to beat Oklahoma. And then, yeah, you said turn around and play West Virginia again.
Yeah.
If that were the case, or, you know, whatever it might be. Or, sorry, Kansas State or Kansas, I should say.
Yeah.
Or, Dan, like, I'm looking at, like, what you just said with Texas Tech. Like, they would beat Texas and then would beat Oklahoma State and then would either get Cincinnati or UCF. I mean, that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
That's an art. I guess when you look at it that way, from a Texas Tech standpoint, I mean, if they do what you say is plausible, right? And that's some really good RPI wins, beating Texas on the neutral site and then beating Oklahoma State on a neutral site. And obviously UCF and Cincinnati aren't going to hurt. Like, all these are quad one wins when you talk about neutral sites. Well, I guess Cincinnati is on the cusp because it's 55. But, you know, it's pretty crazy to see. Like, I did not realize that's how that format worked, which – it's not giving me headaches, guys, so I might have to, like, you know, take a Tylenol here in a minute. But I mean, it's I wouldn't say their season's over, but they're gonna definitely need to make a run.
Yeah, the Big 12 tournament's set up nicely, so it seems like every team can add to their RPI more than it can hurt them, which is nice. The only thing that is unfortunate is it has to start Tuesday because BYU is in the conference. You can't play on Sunday, even though BYU is not in the tournament.
Is that why it was? I was trying to figure out why it ended on a Saturday.
Yeah,
so that is BYU. So unbelievable. So
yeah, and they're not playing in the tournament.
I'm not trying to disrespect, like, the people that are remaining in the Big 12, but I can see why Texas and Oklahoma want to leave. Like, that's letting BYU dictate something like that. Like, that'd be like letting Liberty join the ACC, and we're like, yeah, Liberty, you can tell us what you want to do. That's fine.
Well, you also kind of have to think: was this agreed upon at the beginning of the season, or was this,
it has,
like,
to
back
be. It's
when,
like, every baseball, like, every weekend series is Thursday through Saturday when you play BYU, no matter if it's home or away. You don't play on Sunday against them.
Right. But what I'm saying is, was this agreed upon whenever they joined the conference or at the beginning of the baseball season? Because if it was when they joined the conference, that seems so crazy.
I feel like if you're the Big 12, you're kind of like, hey, let's wait till you make the tournament before we make that call.
So what's going to happen to BYU when they actually get good at baseball and have to play, like, a regional game on a Sunday? Are they just going to, like, forfeit? Or
That's a great question. It's also why in basketball for March Madness that BYU was one seed lower than they should have been because their second game would have been on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess if the whole NCAA is catering to them, I guess you Big 12 might as well as, you know, too. But still, like, that's a baseball question that I didn't even think about. And I think it's a great point. Micah, how many of the Big 12 teams are locks? Like, obviously, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas.
So when I did it, I had six locks. So my six locks were Kansas State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas, and West Virginia. Those were my locks. I mean, that's the nice thing, right? When we talk about TCU, even if they go, you know, 0 and barbecue, as I like to, I don't remember where I heard that, but I like using that term, or, you know, 0-2 on the weekend, you know. Their brand itself, I mean, I hate to say that those matter, but they do. Let's just be honest. If you have an RPI of 45 and your name's TCU or Texas, you're more attractive than ETSU. It might have an RPI of 43. That's just how it's going to work. Yeah. It's kind of the rules of the game. So I feel pretty good about it. And none of these, that's the nice thing. There's not a single team in the Big 12 tournament that's going to hurt someone's RPI unless they just get absolutely blown out. Yeah. So at least no one's RPI should really drop that much. So that's obviously a promising thing too for all these teams. But I had six locks with really every other team considered in this tournament besides Texas Tech. They were the one that because that was kind of you don't consider them unless you're predicting them to win the Big 12, which obviously we are not doing at College Baseball Central.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to Jake about that because and he said no Texas too, which really surprises me. I figured he'd start drinking the Kool-Aid on that one a little bit. Is Oklahoma and or is Big 12 going to have any host at all?
I have Oklahoma hosting. I genuinely think so. I had Wake Forest as my 16th host. So I did some research, and again, I only was able to go back as far as some of these sites will let me go. I went back about 8 years. No one with an RPI in the top 10 has never did not host, and Wake Forest's RPI is 10. Because I wanted to give it to Oklahoma State or Mississippi State, preferably over Wake. I am a Wake Forest hater, even though I literally went with them to Omaha last year. But, you know, for me, it's hard to get. Plus, like we were talking about it too, some Mississippi State fans were mad about our bracket because we didn't put them as the host. Well, no RPI team above 21 has ever hosted either. So it's kind of hard to be like, well, your RPI is 22, so we're going to make the exception this year, but then also make an exception to leave the number 10 RPI out. So it's in that situation. Like, I think if Oklahoma, if we get an Oklahoma State, Oklahoma final, I would not be shocked if both those teams host. And personally, while I'm doing my bracket, because I love doing the regional stuff, I really do want that to be the case. It's as much as I love as much college baseball. I live in East Tennessee, right? I love having a 4-hour radius, 8 different regionals to pick from to go cover. I would love to see a little bit more sporadic, you know, like I wanted, like for a while there, I was trying to push the DBU propaganda just so Texas had to get like had a host, you know? So, you know, obviously to do Jake a favor, but just in general, I mean, college baseball is better. Like I actually get jealous of Jake when obviously, you know, A&M will host, but you know, I always get jealous of Jake when he's at 7 different amazing college baseball games every single weekend. He drives 3 hours from his house. I mean, I get spoiled like that too, you know, being not too far from North Carolina, and obviously Knoxville's not far from me, but yeah, I mean, I think 2 hosts is plausible. I will be shocked if the Big 12 does not get one. Especially if you factor in, you know, their RPI is the 3rd highest RPI conference. And like ECU is continually dropping. Like at this point, Oklahoma has a higher RPI than ECU. So as much as, you know, I have a soft spot for the ECU Pirates, Oklahoma is more deserving right now to host a regional than ECU would be.
Yeah. We talked about Oklahoma a little bit on here, especially after they swept them. But I think a lot of the sentiment still, and Carson, we talked about it slightly, is Oklahoma good? Or are they just like playing our opponents well?
I personally think they're good. I think after they swept TCU and then TCU went and lost like 2 straight series, I kind of trashed them a little bit, but just because I thought TCU wasn't any good at all. But I don't know. The more I watch their games, the more games I actually watch the entirety of, the more I actually think that team is making it out of a regional while hosting it.
Yeah. I think unless they get Austin Peay in a regional, then, you know, things might get dicey there. I love Austin Peay. I'm a big believer in that program right now. It's the most fun program in America. I think, is there a sleeper team in the Big 12 besides Oklahoma State that can make it out of a regional, Micah? Or do you have?
Yeah, I'm on that team's show right now. I really do believe this TCU team is dangerous. That or Kansas State. Kansas State, I don't know who's more frustrating. I mean, obviously, you're TCU guy, so I'm sure you're more frustrated by TCU than Kansas State. But, you know, I feel like every week that I start to buy in again, then my heart gets broken the next week by them. You know, but I would like to say that TCU is probably the most. It was, again, too, like there's benefit to being there before. You know, like, and similar to Kansas State, right? I think they could also be justified in this case is the opposite of that, right? They got screwed last year. There are guys that literally came back to run it back. So, you know, if you give them a chance after they were robbed last year, I mean, you know, again, I would not be shocked one bit if, especially like right now, I have Kansas State paired up with Arkansas. I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, take down Arkansas, but we know what happens with Arkansas at home regionals.
They
like to play a little bit tight for whatever reason. So anything's plausible at that point. So, but I do think if I had to like put like, oh, who's my betting favorite, right? To be the, you know, give me the best odds to get out of a regional that's probably a little bit lower on the totem pole, I think TCU would be it. Especially you're telling me this is the 9 seed in the Big 12 tournament. I mean, again, if you gave me a chance to get the, I don't know what the money line is, right, on a TCU winning the Big 12, but I feel like that would probably be one of the smarter plays to play.
Last I looked, it was plus 3,500, and that was the beginning of May, so it's probably dropped even more.
That's not a bad bad number.
Yeah, exactly. I think Kansas State would also be interesting to go with. Tyson Nabors and Kalen Culpepper and, you know, Super Regional would be a lot of fun to watch.
I got to watch Tyson Nabors whenever he closed out game 3 against us. Dude, that is insane. He's nuts. He's so good.
TCU does have a lot of experience, you know, besides the freshman standouts that they have, Chase Brunson being first team All Big 12 freshman. Sam Myers getting honorable mention, which none of us agree of. I think he should have got in over Chase Brunson. He has better numbers than him. Peyton Tolley's Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. Curtis Byrne, Logan Maxwell, all honorable mention on Big 12. You know, and Peyton Tolley's also a finalist for the Golden Spikes Award. Not how people thought he would, because he's barely gotten any at-bats as the season has gone on, shockingly, but interesting development. Maybe he's going to be getting more at-bats, according to Kirk Sarlos. But who knows with that going on. But yeah, I think TCU's in a good spot, especially I'm just more worried about it's bid stealing weekend. Like, you don't know what's going to happen in any of the other tournaments. Like, TCU's kind of at least got to win one game for me to feel confident in them making a regional. Nate, what's your confidence level, 1 through 10?
I'm like 10. I'm very confident.
You think they're a lock to make it?
I really like, despite like this weekend, like losing two games, I really liked what I saw, despite the pitching. I mean, even we were confident, even coming back, we hadn't seen that in a while. We were able to come back in that last game and make it a game. That's what you need for especially these tournament games, and especially if we make a regional, that's what you need. Be able to come back and fight through adversity, because you're not always going to be ahead and you're not always going to be leading that game. So I'm really confident in this squad and what they can do. It's just if they can put it together at once.
Yeah. TCU's also 15-5 at Globe Life Field since it's opened and they've played there. Historically,
they're undefeated in neutral games this year. I remember when I looked that up, I was like, ooh, this is a team that not super, and they're also like, I mean, I know 7-11 is not a great road record, but to be pretty close to 500 when your record is what it is, that means at least you're competent on the road. There's a lot of teams in the country that are not very good on the road that are fantastic at home. So
yeah, 7-11 and three of those losses were a sweep to Cincinnati that, you know, it looks even better if you maybe still one game away. Micah, you're Omaha 8 right now as of today.
Oh man. Should I use my CBC? I mean, let me pull up my bracket real quick. I know that's cheating, but that way I have a visual of what I'm, you know, stand by my work. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I know for a fact that I obviously have to put Virginia. No, I'm just kidding. Because based off what I have, I think my Omaha 8, I think I'd have Tennessee there. Maybe I have them as the number one overall seed, so maybe they're cursed, and I would find that hilarious. living in East Tennessee, all you hear is Rocky Top, and I'm not a Vol, so it is the most obnoxious thing in the world.
Yeah.
I really want to believe in ECU to get there, but they've looked so rough down the stretch in American play that it's hard to give them credit. So I guess I'll have to go Oregon State just based off, again, my bracket that I currently have put together. Kentucky, I've become public enemy number one to Kentucky fans because I won't make them my number one overall seed. For whatever reason, their fans want that curse on their side.
Yeah.
So just for the fun of it, because I don't have them as a number one seed, I'll say they're going to Omaha and say it's all because of me. Florida State, I think Florida State's going to get there. They're getting healthy. They've had some real big pitching woes as of late just due to injury. And, I mean, Jamie Arnold was right there with Chase Burns and, you know, and Peyton Tolley, right, is some of the best arms in college baseball. But obviously he kind of gets falls by the wayside when Chase Burns is in the same conference as you.
Yeah.
You know, I love this NC State team. I think this NC State team is playing incredibly great baseball. So let's send them back to Omaha for some revenge. There's going to be a mid-major team. So I'm giving the Gauchos. I think UCSB could do it. I watched a lot of their baseball the last couple of weeks because they've been like the later games on Sundays for me. And I know it's Big West opponents, right? But like, I've watched them hammer, you know, CSUN, as they call, you know, Northridge, and just, you know, they obviously took the series with Irvine, who I thought was the best team in the Big West until then. So I'm going to rock with them. I got Clemson going to Omaha too. I actually crap on them all the time. I actually have them not even advancing to the semifinals of the ACC tournament, but they really are that type of team. I mean, I think A&M is going to go too. I think it's going to be a pretty ACC, SEC heavy kind of thing. It's hard for me to see. I could see Texas doing it, you know, but I just don't see it this year with a lot of other conferences. I know it's unfair, but I really do feel like, and maybe it's my bias showing, but I feel like the ACC and the SEC have just been just a little bit better than everywhere else across the board.
Yeah, I think an ACC, SEC, basically Omaha locked together would be great, because you have the ACC who has a lot of great, talented pitching staffs, and then the SEC just has bombs, which maybe their parks are a little bit smaller. I won't go into that, but I think it would be a fun matchup. Like, I wish you would have said Wake Forest, because, and you omitted Arkansas, which No Arkansas in your top eight does surprise me a little bit.
I'm just gonna say this out loud. I'm kind of done with Arkansas. It's the Hagan Smith show, and that's it. Is what I feel like when I watch that team. They just, again, I'm probably gonna get clipped here, and then I'm gonna be public enemy number one, Arkansas fans. But
yeah,
I don't know, something of, like, I think it's, I've put so much faith in them over the years. I know they've gotten there a couple times, right? But they just always seemed, I mean, last year, right, I was all in on that team. They were my Omaha, they were my national champion. And then this scrappy ball club called TCU comes to town. I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not, you know, and just shocks the world. And then, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Something, plus, again, I think right now, based off my bracket, they would be paired with Florida State. And I really do believe in this Florida State team. Like, if that matchup were to occur, Florida State has the better starting rotation across the board, especially if they get healthy here with Leiter hopefully coming back and Whitaker for them. And I mean, they have the ACC Player of the Year and James Tibbs offensively. So the Florida State's just as deep offensively as they are on the mound. So, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to buy too much into the Noles. Plus, Link Jarrett, the coach at FSU, knows how to take a team or two to Omaha. I mean, he took Notre Dame to Omaha, so I think anything's possible at this point.
Yeah, you just killed mine and Carson's dreams of a Hagan Smith versus Chase Burns in Omaha game.
That would be beautiful. Maybe I'm going to have to pair, like, Wake Forest in a, where that could be a super. Like, right now I have Wake Forest as paired with Tennessee in a super.
Yeah.
That would be pretty electric, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be have him come back to Knoxville? Oh, man.
Yeah, that would – just the storylines itself. You did mention UCSB as your mid-major pick. Any other, like, DBU, maybe? I know they've kind of fallen off a little bit. They also dropped both their midweek games at TCU this season. Any other love to any other, you know, you said UC Irvine too, but.
I'm biased because I had a great time there. So if you follow my page, the UConn was super great to me when I was out there. So this is probably some bias kicking into, but I really do think the Big East is one of the most slept on conferences in college baseball this season. They've continually been good. I mean, all four teams that are playing in the tournament are fringe tournament teams. You know, obviously they're not going to get all four teams in just purely. I mean, Creighton didn't even make the Big East tournament and has an RPI higher than some of these teams in the SEC and the Big Ten and the obviously Big 12 and ACC as well. So I think they could be one of those teams, right? That you no one when you see, like, when I put UConn with Tennessee, I guarantee you, no Tennessee fan, they're probably more worried about UCF than they were UConn, and UConn's the two seed there. But I do think this UConn team is deep enough to do it. And they've kind of been a scrappy team in the tournament in years past. So, again, well, am I saying they're going to Omaha? No, but talking about teams that I think could do it. The other one, too, who unfortunately I've paired in Santa Barbara's regional, is San Diego. I mean, that team is so good. They are, like, I wish there was more hype for them. Like, I mean, their RPI is in the top 25. They've dominated the West Coast Conference, and it hasn't even been particularly close. I mean, they dominated all the Pac-12 schools in the state of California this year, too. So, I mean, heck, if the Pac-12 was still a thing, I'd say grab San Diego for baseball.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the UCSB bracket that you guys have LSU there. And we've kind of seen a lot of teams that historically have been very good in college baseball. You know, TCU, LSU, Vanderbilt, a lot of new teams kind of rise to the top in Kentucky. Like, is it just a hangover from last year's season, or is it just that this is just the most wide open season in college baseball, you know, especially Big 12 looking at it, the newcomers came in and dominated. No one thought that. Like, is it just the all countrywide, or is it just maybe a 1 year off thing?
So if you guys don't know, I traveled to all 14 ACC ballparks this year, and I've gone to 36 different college stadiums for games, from as low as FAMU and they're literally YMCA field to, you know, Condon Park the same night, you know, for Florida. And one thing that I've noticed is these schools are starting to invest across the board. I mean, even Cincinnati, I didn't go to a game this year, but I went to campus when I was going up to Louisville. That facility they have for their players is 10 times nicer than what it was 3 years ago as an American Athletic Conference team. So these schools are starting to invest. So I think it's a combination of both. I think, like, again, Kentucky built a brand new ballpark. I mean, this is going to get me canceled by the rest of the SEC. I've been to 7 SEC ballparks. Kentucky is still the best one I've been to.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you canceled
real quick. It's beautiful. And, people can say, like, the fans make it, right? And when I went, there wasn't a ton of fans at the game. It was a cold game. Like, I'd still rather go to Mississippi State or Arkansas for a game, even Tennessee. But you're talking about pure facilities for student athletes, the sight lines, just the beauty of the park, the Instagram-worthy pictures. You know, Kentucky Proud Park is up there with the rest of them. So I think it's just the investment you've seen. I mean, I live not far from App State. App State is really starting to invest in their baseball facilities, and they got smart with how they're recruiting. It's the most overrated stadium in the history of college baseball, by the way, guys. It never looks as beautiful as those pictures say. Last I checked, you can't watch a baseball game from a drone. But regardless, you know, I got to take a shout out to Rival when I can. You know, they do a great job of hyping up what they're trying to do. And this is the first time in a long time their baseball team has been relevant. I mean, they're right on the edge of an NCAA tournament bid if they do well in the Sun Belt tournament. James Madison is the same way. They've started to invest. Like, these schools are starting to kind of realize there is a potential to get your brand on national television, be competitive in college baseball. And it doesn't cost that much to be, again, are you going to be able to have the same facilities as a TCU or an Arkansas? No, as a mid-major program. But can you be close, like, especially compared to like a football, right? Like a MAC school football facility and SC football facility are way off. But some of these MAC baseball stadiums, like Miami of Ohio, has a nicer baseball facility than Missouri. I've been to both, and I can tell you right now, I will die on that hill. Miami of Ohio has a nicer ballpark. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you can invest in. I think it's finally starting to show its head, because, you know, we still have obviously those brands that have always kind of invested. But again, I mean, think about it. Wake Forest was, I don't want to call it a poverty program, right? But it was nothing special until a few years ago when the light bulb came on. Hey, if we invest in our program, we can be pretty darn good. And look at them now.
Yeah. Especially McNeese. Has anyone seen McNeese's mock-up Unreal. They did today for their new baseball facility? It's gorgeous.
I mean, look at Marshall's new ballpark. Marshall, they're not even good at baseball. And like, their brand new ballpark is stunning.
Yeah. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to McNeese's campus. I went to school an hour from there at UL. Like, it's not much out there. So it's a lot of investment. And I don't know. Like, you look at TCU's baseball recruiting class for next year, like Noah Franco, top 10, you know, recruit for next year's class is going to be at TCU. Like, how much will NIL play into this? You know, TCU has a decent NIL fund. I don't know the allocations for baseball compared to other sports, but like, will NIL start to see a little bit more parity with baseball, or will it be like football where a lot of players go to one school?
I mean, if you're asking me, I think at the end of the day, like, I've noticed, I've started to talk to some folks. Again, I work at a mid-major school where we have $0 and 0 cents invested in NIL for baseball.
Yeah.
You know, we have some kids that are pretty good. There's a reason why the RPI at ETSU is 52 or whatever it is right now. You know, so obviously we worry about who might hit the portal and who might leave, because NIL is the thing. It's not as big as like you would think. I mean, obviously Chase Burns got a nice check, but he turned down more money from Tennessee to stay at Wake Forest. I think there's a real investment. I think it's better in baseball because some of these kids are also realizing like development is important in the sport of baseball. Where like in college football, for example, you're probably not going to peak much more than you are right now. Where with baseball, I mean, obviously, hopefully arm injuries don't, you know, happen, you know, to pitchers, but especially when it comes to hitters and stuff, these kids are really starting to peak a year or two after their collegiate careers end. So I think there's a real investment in all of that. And I think that, again, the difference is not that much. I mean, there are some schools that are rumored to, you know, in the mid-major level, they just have a donor that just puts together 25-30K, pays the roster a little bit, and that's enough. Because these kids want to compete for championships instead of, you know, pick on a school. But let's just say a BYU who missed the Big 12 tournament. Do I want to go play at BYU and say I'm a Big 12 player, or do I want to go compete for the ASUN championship at Austin Peay, you know, and get the same amount of NIL or a little bit less? So I think there's a lot. I mean, again, we'll see if the NIL ever gets to the level that it is at football and basketball, but until it does, I don't think it's going to be as big of a factor as everybody says. And because also too, a lot of these kids, if they're that good, just go to the draft. I mean, a lot of them have had an opportunity to probably get drafted already and turn down big money. So they're probably not going to get the same amount of money in NIL. But then two or three years, depending on age, they can go to the draft and go get that $1 million signing bonus.
Do you think it also matters as much for like, because I know technically with NIL and baseball having its limited scholarships, that NIL can go towards paying a student's, you know, all of their payments for school, that also technically qualifies as NIL. Do you think that will become a more popular thing? Of course, unless they pass that bill this year, increasing the scholarship amount.
So that's, I don't want to go too much into details because I don't remember the full story, but we had someone that was really close to Billy Amick's family when he was at Clemson, and obviously now he's at Tennessee. And that was his big thing. He was not on scholarship at Clemson, and he just wanted to get a full ride scholarship. And Clemson's like, we only have 11.7, you know, obviously shout out to the 11.7 guys, you know, I'll never forget it because of their podcast. I used to always like 11.9. Is it 4.1? No, it's 11.7. But, you know, but Tennessee was willing to give him some scholarship money. And then the NIL they gave him covered the rest. And I'm sure he got a little bit extra on the side.
Yeah.
But that was the difference. And like, I think at the end of the day, like that's what NIL should be for. Like if TCU wants to pay a player because they can't scholarship wise because of NCAA's weird rule on that, but a donor wants to make sure this like Peyton Toley stays at TCU. Absolutely. That's the beauty of like name, image, and likeness is rewarding you for your efforts on the field. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think that will probably play a role into it. I know it's something that, you know, does scare these mid-major schools is because, you know, especially if they pass, like, I almost think it's almost more concerning for the mid-major level if they remove the scholarship limits, because now it's, again, right now, NIL is technically not in-house for these schools, right? So until it is, now these schools are almost running an NIL game because TCU will be like, you know what? We really like baseball. Let's fund all. I mean, it's great for the kids. I'm not trying to, I want to make sure I preface that, right. But I'm going to fund 40 to full ride scholarships at ETSU. We're barely surviving with 12, right? Like, you know, we might be able to find a 13th full ride for a kid that we really want to keep, but that's about as far as we can go because we just don't have the same monetary numbers. I mean, our ESPN Plus contract is not the same as a TCU contract and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that will obviously will play a role, but at the end of the day, it's best for the student athletes. I will always, you know, vouch for, you know, I was a Division II student athlete and I couldn't even say that I was at a, I played lacrosse. Preface, but I couldn't even run a camp and say I was a Division II student athlete because that might be, you know, using the brand of Lincoln Memorial University. I guarantee you none of you have ever heard of that school and no parents signing up their kid because a Division II bench player is going to be there coaching the camp. But I wasn't even allowed to say it. So I'm glad NIL is a thing.
Yeah, I think it's also a big part too is like TCU is, you know, Nate Carson, you'll know this a little bit better, but TCU is an expensive school. Like, extremely expensive, especially in the private school. Like getting whenever you know you want to play baseball and you want to be a D1 athlete and you still have to pay for your money or your schooling, and TCU is close to 80K, maybe even more if you're out of state, that like NIL going towards that would be a game changer, especially. And you know, even if they open up the scholarship amount, like I think we'll see a major shift in college baseball. Carson, Nate, you guys have anything else you guys want to ask Micah before we kind of shut this thing down?
I'm very happy that you mentioned NC State because I only started following NC State about 2 weeks ago. I am so in love with that team right now.
Oh, so you're the reason that my Virginia Cavaliers lost the series to NC State. Yeah. Sorry, reason. Got it.
What did I just say?
You started following them this past weekend, right? That's what you meant to say.
Right. Right.
Micah, how tough was it for you to put Virginia against A&M in a region or a potential super regional matchup, knowing what might happen with A&M?
I'm not gonna lie to you, I kind of did that because I want an excuse to drive all the way to Texas for that region, super regional. If I'm just being honest with you, like, give me a reason to go down to College Station, please. Like, so it's a running joke. It's actually funny. He's not in the shop, but I'm with the other College Baseball Central team member, Monty Taylor, who covers a lot more of Virginia than I do. He's going to get UVA's regional that they host. So I joked that I'm going to take Louisville or Georgia Tech because that's the two bandwagon teams I'm hopped on for the ACC tournament. I'm like, Louisville, please get sent to Arkansas. Not because you're going to win that regional, but just so I have a reason to drive to Fayetteville, Arkansas, because I'll have no other reason besides that. I mean, no offense, Fayetteville, Arkansas, but someone that lives in East Tennessee, I'm not driving 11 hours just because.
I'd be surprised if you had a reason.
Yeah, fair. So, you know, like selfishly, I think that was part of it. Plus, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm a fan of college baseball. Yes, I'm a Virginia fan. I'll get frustrated when we lose. Last year when we lost to TCU and the sun, when I was getting sunburnt, I was a little frustrated. And then Super Frog just happened to walk by me. You know, my profile picture is obviously with Super Frog, and that's post-Virginia loss. So I'm still a little salty about that because I had to try to fake a smile with Super Frog after he eliminated my team. But, you know,
Carson might have been in the press box laughing at you at this time.
Oh, well. I probably
I definitely was.
But you know, I at the end of the day, I'm all for good college baseball. And you know, again, like last year, my favorite story is I was with Cam Manassi, the one who gave up the walk-off home run to Tommy White. I was sitting with his family. He was the one leaving us tickets in Omaha last year when I went for Wake. And we were sitting with his family when it happened. And when I tell you, like, there was, like, you saw the beauty of college baseball. You saw the frustration, the sadness, right, because their son just got walked off. But if you didn't know this, Tommy and Cam are friends. So then there was the beauty of Tommy getting to advance to the College World Series finals. And just if you were there, right, it's the greatest college baseball game I've ever seen. I mean, every pitch, where you were living and dying by every single pitch. It was fantastic. And, of course, I was cheering for Wake, and it was bummed that it didn't come out on top. But, you know, that reminded me how awesome this sport is because, I mean, someone whose kid quite literally lost the game, you know, for his team, it was all just – the memories, right? It was the beauty of the sport and remembering just how special it is. So at the end of the day, I'd almost rather Virginia lose to Texas A&M and give me a reason to go to College Station and Virginia get paired with, I don't know, Tennessee and have the same thing happen. So
Nate, you got any questions for Micah before we close this thing out?
No, the only thing is, like, for TCU, do you think they're going to rely more on hitting or pitching more? What do you think is going to be more important to get through this Big 12 tournament?
Through the Big 12 tournament, I think they're going to have to rely on their hitting. Again, I'm not going to say I'm an expert by any means on your staff, but it feels like, you know, obviously you have the guy in the conference, and then you kind of have not a huge drop off, right, but kind of a dip from there. So, you know, again, you can only throw Peyton Tolley so much, and especially in how crazy your format is, where again, you potentially be playing twice in a day. Like, yeah, I'm out on that one. But I do think, though, you know, for obviously the Big 12 portion of it, but when we're talking about NCAA tournament, I think you guys are set up pretty well because it's kind of like when I talk about with Wake. I think Wake's not guaranteed, but they're probably going to win game one. And maybe if you're a one seed in Wake's state case, you don't probably have to throw Chase Burns in game one. So, you know, I think TCU is set up pretty well to where, and I'm telling you right now, like, I almost put them in the Charlottesville regional. I was like, nope, not doing that again. That was last year. Let's get that. Let's not relive the painful night or day that was last year in Omaha.
Yeah. So. All right, Micah, where can the people find you on social media?
Yeah, so you can follow my personal page at Micah_CBC. Obviously, make sure you follow College Baseball Central. I'm going to be hopping on an SEC show to remind everybody that it just means less in the ACC. That is also our Twitter account. But
good man.
If you like ACC baseball, that's the one that I push the most stuff out on. Just means less ACC. The technical handles at FQACC. So again, if you like just random memes about just means less kind of stuff, we're the place to be. But, you know, in terms of what we're doing at College Baseball Central, obviously we're pretty broad. And I will give Jake a shout out. We joke with him all the time. He's kind of a clown, but he does know his ball. If there's anyone that can talk Big 12 baseball, it's Jake. So, but I appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully I gave you guys a little insider perspective of what someone sitting in Charlotte, North Carolina, preparing for what a real conference tournament looks like, you know, sees about the Big 12.
Yeah, Micah, it was great having you on. We appreciate you being on, and we will catch everyone next time. We'll be back probably selection day is Monday. So Monday night, we will be back on breaking down regardless of what happens. But we'll catch you guys next time. And thanks for listening.